Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because the name of Jesus is powerful to break every yoke. Thank you, Lord. And break every chain that the devil has put around the necks of God's people. And break every yoke. Glory to God. And thank you because when your word comes in, it sheds light and dispels darkness. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you this morning. Do you love him? Just tell him quietly that you love him. He's good and his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, please bring people in. They need to be a part of this. And you know, I tell you what, the last 7 days or so, we've been dealing on generational blessings. Not to be confused with generational curses, which is what people usually deal in. But the Lord said there needs to be a paradigm shift. We need to be focusing on the blessings that God will put upon your children because of you. Praise God. Because of the, you know, how the seed of the righteous will be blessed because of their fathers. You know, from the fathers to the children. The blessing of the Lord, you know, rather than curses. But then we got to deal with the curses as well. You know, we dealt with some of it a bit yesterday, but I want to do this again by the Spirit of the Lord today. But let me lay a background with the scriptures. We always want to bring the Word of God, you know, because the Word of God is a hammer. That's right. It's the one that can break down even cedars and various things like that. So let me lay a foundation. And in case you missed the series, been going on for about 7 days now, you need to go back and try to listen to the replays. But let me introduce the Lord to us the way he introduced himself. When Moses said, or I should say, reintroduce the Lord. When Moses said, Lord, show me thy glory in Exodus 33. And the Lord told him, well, here's what I'm going to do. I won't show you exactly my face, but I'll show you something, you know, and go over in this place and start over here and I'll pass by and I'll show you, you know, something. So Moses, he wanted to see the glory of God. And I should say right away that Moses had seen power, demonstration of the power of God, all kinds of creative miracles and even plagues that the Lord brought by his hand to smite the land of Egypt, culminating in the incredible, singular, most fantastic miracle in that Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea. Moses had seen it all, and yet he wanted more. I want to see your glory. Are you telling me that parting of the Red Sea is not glory? Are you telling me that all those miracles that he did in the land of Egypt was not glory? But he wanted something more. And the Lord said, well, I'm going to show you something more. But ladies and gentlemen, lo and behold, in answer to his prayer of show me thy glory, what exactly did God do? Well, I know and I'm persuaded within my heart that the Lord was doing exactly, you know, what David asked for. Now, let's take a look also at Moses, not David. Let's take a look also at what Moses' prayer was. Exodus 33. And the Lord said to him, I'm going to do this thing. Because they were talking about, you know, go with us and so forth. You know, and he said, look. And in Exodus 33 verse 18, Moses said, Lord, I beseech you, show me thy glory. That was his prayer. And the Lord said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So that's God's answer to the prayer to be shown God's glory. You know, God knew exactly what the man asked for, And this is his response. So let's see what God considers to be his glory. This is what the man prayed for. So, and the Lord told him, look, don't think that I'm going to show you my face. I won't. But go over here, and there's a place over there. You stand there, and I'll pass by, and my glory will pass by, and I will show you my glory, and so forth. So he went, and he did. And then the Lord descended here in Exodus 34. Let's see from verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Remember, the Lord said, I'll show you my glory and proclaim my name. Both of those go together. And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Remember, I said, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Long suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. And that's what the Lord proclaimed first. And then he put this part also there, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children until the third and fourth generation. And this verse 7 of Exodus 34, people have latched on to this part of it, this last part of it, than the other part. You know, people have latched on to the visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation. They've latched on to that more than the first part of what God said. You know, when God put Adam and Eve upon the face of the earth, he blessed them. You know, he didn't put any curse on them. He just blessed them. And a curse came later, but the Lord blessed them. And here we see that the Lord put forth, you know, his best attributes first, which was his goodness, abundant in goodness and mercy. And the first thing, mercy, graciousness, and so on, you know, and all that. That's what the Lord put forth first. And it was so important that we consider that. And that's what we've been doing in this series. Now, I am going to read through a chapter of in the book of Ezekiel, most of Ezekiel 18, because we're going to break some curses here this morning. You know, I mean, this series, the teachings that we've done throughout this last week should have broken a lot of the series. But hearing, you know, here and there yesterday, I realized that I got to come out here by the grace of God and break some more things. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to talk about the sins of our fathers, you know, and uprooting some things, some deep-seated things. Now, remember, you know, all the things that we covered in this series, but this is to put the final nail on the devil's coffin as far as these things are concerned. Now, in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2, now, let's bring this here this morning. Proverbs 26 and verse 2 will tell you that, well, there is a reason why curses sometimes come, you know. And, but, you know, how do we get to the root of it? And how do we deliver ourselves from these things? As the bird by wandering and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, you know, curse doesn't come without a cause. You know, there's always something behind it. Well, the something that was behind it dated back to the Garden of Eden. You know, because at the beginning, it was not so that the Lord intended a curse for anyone. The Lord just put a blessing on them. The Bible says the first words out of his mouth, Genesis 1, 28, the Lord blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. You know, that's what he said. He didn't say be cursed. He didn't say struggle. He didn't say, you know, be under bondage. No, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over everything. Well, of course, the curse came because of the sins and etc. You know, but let's see how. And that went on for generations. People latched on to that. But for good reason, because actually people see today that there are some traits that they find that probably were from the sins of their fathers. Remember, we talked about from the fathers to the children, but I focused on the good part, the blessing part. From Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob, from Jacob to David, from David to Jesus, from Jesus to you. You know, so we saw all of that. But let's focus on how to break, you know, the pattern of the sins of the fathers. You know, because some people might still wonder about that. Now, we know that this verse in Proverbs already tells us that there is always a reason why the curse might be there. But regardless of the reason, let's take a look at how God would deal with this in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18. And I covered some of these in the main lessons that we did earlier over the last 7 days or so. But here's what I want to read to us. I'm actually going to go through most of this chapter of Ezekiel 18. Here's the word of the Lord that came unto Ezekiel, saying, what mean ye that use this proverb concerning the land of Israel? As you say, you know, concerning your life even. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Why is it that the children have to pay for the sins or the wrongdoings of the fathers? Why? You know, but it was so. It actually did happen, because the Lord said, look, I visit the sins of the fathers upon their children to the third and fourth generation. But here the Lord come back and say, how long will you continue to say this? That the children must continue to suffer for the sins of the fathers. Why is it that the fathers ate sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? They're not the ones that ate the grapes. And the Lord said, as I live, and it's not, you know, when the Lord swears about something, my goodness, as I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall no longer have occasion to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also is the soul of the Son mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Hallelujah. So, you know, and he went on to say, look, if a man is just and doeth that which is right and so forth, then he shall live. You know, but if he beget a son as a robber, then the son shall die. You know, I remember throughout this series, even when bringing the generational blessings, I spoke about, look, the blessings will automatically pass on to the children. But in order for the children to sustain it, they themselves have personal accountability to walk in the ways of the Lord. And if they don't, then judgment will come upon them. You know, the Lord may tender mercy a little bit because of their father, as we saw in the case of Solomon. You know, but it will still there be the responsibility of the children to walk in the right ways for themselves in order to maintain the blessing that they might have inherited. Now, let's read a few verses here in Ezekiel. Let's jump to verse 14 and I will read. Now, if a man beget a son that sees all his father's sins. Now, if we talk about some of these yesterday, people have seen all the evil that their fathers did. You know, people have talked about, oh, my father was a this, my father was a that, was a polygamist, he beat my mother, he did this and that. You know, maybe the mother was wicked, maybe there was a lot of wickedness in the family, maybe there was divorce, maybe there was witchcraft, maybe idolatry, maybe they served the devil, you know, maybe they were pagans, whatever. The son has seen all these things. which his father had done and had been in their lineage, you know, and then he considered, you know, it says right here in verse 14, he saw all of it, but he considered and does not do the same. Hallelujah. He did not do all the wicked things of eating on the mountains, lifting up their eyes to idols like his father did. He did not do the abominations of idolatry, of adultery, of fornication, and so forth like his father did. He did not oppress any. He had not withholding his pledge. He has not spoiled with violence. He has given his bread to the hungry. On the other hand, he has covered the naked with weakness. I mean, he done good things. He did not follow the wicked ways of his father, you know. And he went on and on and on. And he said, look, but he has executed my judgments. He had walked in my statutes. Then he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. So how do you break the curse? It's what I'm talking about here now. The way to break the curse. First, we must recognize that there was indeed a curse. Because Proverbs 26 verse 2 tells you that. There's a reason why it was there. You must recognize. And psychologists and all these people will tell you all those things. I'm not a psychologist. I'm a preacher of the word of God. Now, the curse was there. But the way you break it is the person that recognizes the evil, that's right, and detaches themselves from it. Sometimes they can do it on their own. Sometimes they can't. Sometimes they need a force of spiritual arms, which I will be doing here today by the grace of God. But then sometimes they can do self-deliverance according to the book of Isaiah 52 and verse 2. You know, it says, shake yourself from the dust. Loose yourself from the bands around your neck. Or, in other words, loose yourselves from being a victim of generational curses. You know, you can do it. But if you can't, you get some help here. Now, it says, if you have not done the follow the ways of your father, then you can break that curse. And the sins of the father, the children do no longer have to inherit the punishment thereof. Now, as for his father, because he dealt cruelly and so forth, well, he shall die in his iniquity. But as for the son, he shall live. He shall not die. He said the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. You can read that in verse 20 of Ezekiel 18. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall no longer bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. Everyone shall be, you know, rewarded for their own, either righteousness or iniquity. Well, if they are wicked, their wickedness be on them. If they are righteous, their righteousness be on them. Now, the blessing by generational blessing comes upon the next generation automatically, but if they do not walk in the ways of the Lord, then judgment is on their head. Now, the sins of the fathers are there. You know, we don't make light of it. There are some wickedness, there are some generations that have sold their souls to the devil. And you think the devil is going to let his prey go? Absolutely not. You know, he's not going to yield his territory. In fact, the devil came to Jesus and told him, look, all these things are delivered unto me. He was able to tell that to Jesus. Jesus didn't argue. And look, the Lord knows that the devil has all this power over the world. You know, for them that are still in darkness, though. Because Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, had nothing in me. Now, but Jesus did call him the prince. A prince has power. You know, you don't call someone a prince if they have no power. Jesus called the devil the prince of this world. And he knows he has power. But Jesus gave us power beyond the power, power over the power of the devil. In Luke 10 and 19, he said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all these generational things. And I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And before he said that, he said, I looked in verse 18, and I beheld, and I saw Satan fall like lightning. Luke 10 and 18. He saw it. He said, wow, that's right. That means the powers of darkness are dislodged, and they are traveling at the speed of light, moving far, far away from the power of God. And when you come with some real fire, you can chase the devil like that. Praise God. We're going to do some of that here this morning. But I want to show you the word of God so that absolutely after this series, nobody should still go around and say, well, my father did this and that and so forth. You know, and listen, there are some people that broke the sins of their fathers and mothers in the Bible. I'm going to read to you a couple of stories where, you know, they just said, look, I'm not going to have any part of that, you know, and they turned everything upside down, that the evil that they have, the foregoing generations had done, you know. There are many stories, but for the sake of time, because I really want to pray this morning, I'm going to only go to one story. You'll find it in two different places. In 1 Kings chapter 15, you'll find it in verses 9 to 13. You'll also find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. This is the story of Asa. I just pick one of them. The same story. Let me pick the one in 1 Kings chapter 15. And let's see what Asa did. Now, in this particular case, when Asa became king, let's see what he did. You know, praise the Lord. He said, look, you know, Asa, in verse 9 of 1 Kings 15, in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa began to reign over Judah. You know, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah. Now, they don't always tell the mother's name, but sometimes they will to identify them. But this woman, she was the daughter of Ahishlon. And, you know, this woman was a wicked woman, but let's get to that. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Now, David is being called his father here. David was not his direct father. David was several generations ahead of him. But that's how God deals with people. Father and son. No grandfather, no grandson. It's just father and son. So David, his father, he took away the Sodomites. That's right. Out of the land. And we need to take away Sodomites again out of the land. I'm calling it out right now. Praise the Lord. Took away the Sodomites. He took away, he removed all the idols that his father had made. Now, you don't have to follow the wicked things that your father or your mother did. You don't have to follow the generations of the wicked. Now, this man, he came in there and cleaned house. You know, and also, you know, his father had died, so he's now king, right? But his mother was still queen mother. You know, mother was still queen mother. And because his mother was wicked, his mother was still following, you know, idols and doing all the wicked things, he removed the woman from being queen. Hallelujah. Because she made an idol, she made a grave, and Asa removed it. He destroyed the idol. And he burnt it in the fire. Now, this is what you do. You know, burnt it in the brook Kidron. This is what you do. You destroy the works that were ahead of you that were evil. Now, you may not be physically able to do that, but you can do it spiritually as well. You know, this is how you free yourself from the yoke. You do not follow their ways. You condemn the ways. You destroy those things. Hallelujah. You cast down those imaginations. You burn them with the fire of the Holy Ghost. If necessary, you burn them literally in fire. If not, I mean, if they gave you any tokens, any talismans, any of these, you know, tokens of evil, if it's in your life, you take them, you destroy them, you burn them. If you have anything that attach yourself to those things, you take those things, you literally burn them. And if you can't find any literal tokens, then you spiritually come with Holy Ghost fire and you burn those things. Hallelujah. And so you dislodge those things. This man, he cleaned house. He removed his mother from being queen. I'm not going to have any part of that. Praise God. You know, now that's how you do it. You can read the same story in 2 Kings Chronicles chapter 15. That's how you do it. You know, and he took, the Bible says that all these things, you know, he was perfect in the ways of the Lord in all his days. He was just perfect in the ways of the Lord. How did he get to that perfection? You know, he had some problems later on, but at least this part of it, he dealt with these, you know, foregoing sins of his fathers and his mother, and he dealt with them and removed them, removed all those things, removed the influence that those things had in his life. Praise God. Now, your father may have dedicated you to the devil. He may have given you some enchantments or some this and that and so forth. You need to take those things and destroy. Now, if it's things that cannot be destroyed, you know, like in Africa, they put marks on the people and so forth. You know, you really can't remove those things, but you can obliterate the effect by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's right. I remember our God is a consuming fire. You can consume, you know, glory to God, you know, so that's what we need to do. We want to consume, destroy some things. God said to Jeremiah, you have got to throw down. You have got to pull out, root out, destroy everything, and then plant and build. And the Lord also says here in the book of Obadiah chapter 1, there's only one, chapter. He says, look, upon Mount Zion in verse 17 shall be deliverance. And I need to be deliverance here this morning. And there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. You know, you don't need to inherit negative things. You inherit your own things. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire. We want to kindle some fire here this morning. Hallelujah. House of Jacob be a flame. And they will take the works of the devil, which are represented here by the house of Esau, for stubble. And they will kindle them and devour them and burn them. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do here this morning. Praise God. So now that's how you do it. Now you say, well, you know, I'm overpowered. I'm overwhelmed. I'm sure you are. In your own natural power and in your own natural strength. But remember, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, this mountain shall be removed. Hallelujah. Not by power and not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You know, so, you know, where we think that we can't do it, the Lord tells you, I can do it for you. Glory to God. Lord is going to obliterate that and heal that. We talked about healing those bitter waters. You know, but, some people may still be feeling the effect or the brunt of that. Now, you go through, the psychologists and so forth. They can even tell you some things, you know. There are traits and different things that people might have inherited. I mean, we see that families who, you know, are, you know, in drug and drinking and all of these things, you know, children grow up the same way doing these things. You know, fathers who are promiscuous, you know, the one that is this and that, the children grow up doing the same things. And then this evil just passes on and on and on and on. However, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. In fact, let me read to you verse 16 first. Because this 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5, 17, or chapter 5, verse 17, is everything, is a verse that everybody knows. Well, the one that we fail to read and know is the verse before it. And let me dwell on it for just a minute. You know, it says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. You know, the things that were in the flesh, in your generations, and so forth. We're done with that. You know, and he said, even, we are not even knowing Christ after the flesh. You know, not anymore, let alone, you know, these things, you know. Yeah. Some people thought that, oh, you know, just because you're born in the house of Israel after the flesh, that makes you a true Jew. No, not all that are Israel are really Israel, you know, but we don't follow after the flesh anymore. You know, the things, you know, he that is born of flesh is flesh, but he that is born of spirit is spirit. Flesh and all the things that were in your lineage, of course, they are there. And, you know, we can't just sweep them under the rug. They are there, but we can deliver ourselves like the rogue. You know, you can shake yourself from the doors. You can lose yourself from the bands of the around your neck, and you can disinherit yourself from those things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you know, I tell you what. My generation was not always a generation that feared the Lord. I mean, ahead of me, not my father's generation. You know, of course, at one time, you know, they began to be believers and everything, but it wasn't always like that. You know, and I know that even I myself, I come into a family where I was the last born of five, and there were all kinds of things, and there were even some evil in the family where, you know, because of children that came from other mothers, you know, one time the devil got into one of them and he took out enchantments, divinations, and different things, and began to call out the names of, you know, the children that were in my mother's side, three of us, and called out curses and different things. I heard it with my mouth. It wasn't that I was told. I was just saying all of these things. And I was like, you know, but, you know, and they have tried everything. They have tried all kinds of things. You know, in fact, there's things that people do in Africa. Don't think I don't know about these things. I am well aware, but I'm under a different lineage. You know, tokens of evil, you know, liars and so forth, they don't affect me anymore. I mean, these people will take out, they look at you, they take out a match, they strike the match and snuff it out right in your presence. That means your life will be snuffed out and things will never work out right. I can tell you some more things, but I don't want to put ideas in anybody's heads. They take out all kinds of enchantments and so forth. Did it work? No. Praise God. Even before I was a believer, it didn't even work. Let alone when I became a believer. It was like God's hand was upon me. And that's the blessing that I got from the Lord. I didn't even get that from my father. I got it from the Lord. You know, because some of these things actually affected other people in the family. But the Lord protected me. And then more so when I became a believer, my goodness, you know, since I understood these things from being a believer, I got rid of those things. I destroyed all the pronunciations. There was a lot of pronunciations, you know, and some of them actually started to happen to some of my siblings. But I destroyed all those pronunciations. I'm not going to go into too much of detail. And I just, you know, dealt with it by the power of the Lord. I wasn't going to let that devil have a field day. No way. It's back to sender. Praise the Lord. But later on, I realized that this man, he didn't know what he was doing. He was possessed of the devil. So I began to pray, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he does. You know, praise the Lord. But, you know, I'm going to protect my life with the blood of Jesus. I'm not going to let any of these enchantments or divinations come over me. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 23 will tell it to you like this. You cannot curse whom the Lord has blessed. That's right. I was blessed of the Lord. And they tried to put a spell upon me. They tried to put a curse upon me. It did not work. Hallelujah. Now, in some cases, it actually works. You know, they may have put a spell on you. Or somehow it came upon you. But enough of that already. We need to put that away. Destroy all those works like Asa did the works of his father. Destroy the works of his mother. Removed all the influence that they had over his life and everything. And dealt away with them. Hallelujah. So we need to deal with these things and put them away. Now, how do we put on strength and put on our beautiful garments? We don't need to wear these garments of tokens of lies. Now, remember, the devil is a liar and the father of it. This is what Jesus said. You know, everything that the devil does, you know, is to bring lies and confusion and steal our joy and our peace and so forth. God wants us to have deliverance. You know, he says, in Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And you yourself, you put on, you become a flame of fire. It's like flame on. You put on flame, you put on fire, you kindle a fire, and you burn. You can read it again in Obadiah 17. You burn all those works. And again, you lose yourself from the bands around the neck. And just in case you need a little help, I'm going to pray some prayers here this morning. Now, all you got to do is denounce, renounce, disinherit yourself of those things. Praise God. Because look, the devil, you know, has power over this world. But you are no longer part of his domain. Now, make no mistake about it. Devil has some real power. And people who think the devil doesn't have power, he's going to have a field day with them. He does have power. But Jesus' power is more. And Jesus has given us power over that power. Now, the Lord actually acknowledged that the devil has power. So anybody that tries to just dismiss that as if the devil doesn't have power, they are sadly mistaken. Because the Bible says, Jesus said it with his own mouth, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy." So the devil has power, and Jesus acknowledged it. But the power that Jesus gives you is over that. Now, did he give us that? Oh, absolutely. Then why don't we have it? Well, because we don't know how to exercise it. We talked about this yesterday as well. Has Jesus healed us? Oh, absolutely. Then why are we still sick? Well, then what do you do if you are sick? Has Jesus paid for your peace? Absolutely. Then why are you still troubled? The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And why are you still troubled? You know, by his stripes we are healed. Then why are you still not healed? Why is sickness still coming? You know, these things will come. Look, did Jesus abolish death? Absolutely. It says right here that Jesus has abolished death and he has brought immortality to light through the gospel. Hallelujah. He has already done it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. The Lord has already abolished it. Well, people are still dying. You know, yes, because the last enemy to be destroyed is death. All these things have been done spiritually in the realm where God finishes something before he even starts it. That's it. He already done it. But, you know, did God give us dominion over everything, even in according to, you know, Genesis and even according to Psalm 8? Why, absolutely. Do we have dominion? Of course not. Not yet. You know, but you have to enforce certain things. Has God delivered us from, did Jesus destroy the works of the devil in our life? Let's read 1 John, chapter 3, you know, and read what he said here. You know, he said, look, for this reason was Jesus made, or came into this world, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. He that committed sin is of the devil. The devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. I mean, if that is the reason why Jesus came, then do we think that he actually accomplished it when he was on the cross? And in John chapter 19 and verse 30 said, it is finished. I mean, if he came to destroy the works of the devil, and when he was hanging on the cross, he said, it is finished. Then did he do it? Well, absolutely. You know, did he make an open show of principalities and powers? Even according to the book of Colossians chapter 2, did he do it? Well, absolutely. Then why are we still under bondage? Touch not, taste not, fear not. I mean, you know, handle not, all these things and so forth. Well, because these things are still there. We're still under bondage of the all these beggarly elements and all the tokens of liars and so forth. They are still there. But Jesus has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. You know, whether it was ordinances that came because of the fall, whether it was ordinances that came because of what our fathers did, however they came, the Bible says that Jesus, you know, has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Contracts that were against us. The agreement of death. The contract we held that was against you. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And he spoiled principalities and powers. Colossians 2 and 15. He made an open show of them, triumphing over them in it. Did he do it? Why, absolutely. Well, why are we still under those things here? Because, well, it does not yet appear the deliverance, but we must walk our way into it. You must pray through. You know, one time, and I think I've said this on this platform perhaps once or maybe twice, I don't know. But one time the Lord showed me in the spirit the devil taking out a contract. And I saw he was trying to write some names, a contract of death. You know, it's like this. Curses and so forth. It's a book of curses, generational curses. And it's trying to put your name in it. And it was trying to put your name in it, trying to put my name in it. But I'm looking. And as he's writing, I'm looking. But I don't see anything appearing on the page. But he's writing furiously and he's turning pages and writing. But I'm looking, but the page is blank. What is he writing? And he's not using an invisible ink, but the thing is not appearing. Then here comes the voice. I said, void. We are prohibited by law. Woo, yaka, tarila boshi makasulia. Void. We are prohibited by the law of the liberty of the sons of God. And I said, my goodness. And then the Lord began to show me that, look, even in natural life, there are places, even in the United States here, in my state here, a lot of places where they have this underlining tenet that, look, you can take out any contract, you know, you can sign anything you want. But, you know, some states subscribe to this, that it is void if it is prohibited by state law. You can sign any contract you want. It's not valid if it's contrary and prohibited by state law. We have that in many states in the United States. How much more in the kingdom of God? Every contract that the enemy has taken out before you, they might have put your name. They could have put your name. They could have taken you to the altar, the shrine of wickedness, and put your name there and embedded it, your name, and struck your things over your name. I don't want to go into all those things. I'll give people any ideas. There are a lot of things that they've done. But all those things, now that you are in Christ, and now voided. Huh, glory to God. Voided. So that's why I was looking and he was writing it, but I wasn't seeing anything. And the voice said, void. were prohibited by law. Hoo-hoo. Now, ladies and gentlemen, well, sometimes you say, well, I'm free, but I'm not free. Well, because, you know, there is a remembrance always of still of those things. Well, remembrance is sometimes necessary so that we don't fall into the same pattern again. But that's all they are good for, is not for you to, you know, wallow in those things. You know, yeah, God used to call them to remembrance of their evils of their fathers, so they don't follow those ways. They don't follow their evil and pernicious ways, so that the evil and judgment doesn't come upon their head. You know, and so there may be a remembrance of those things. I mean, there should be an analysis of those things. And you can find, you can dwell into root causes if you want to do that. Again, this is not a psychology room. You can go into all of that if you want to. And deliverance, sometimes you have to do that. However, let me say this and make it very categorically plain today. Christ has set you free. Praise God. You know, and so you are free at last. Free at last. Glory to God. Now, he was upon your forefathers. He was upon your fathers. He was in your family. They did these evils. They did it. They had the shrine. They did all of these things. But, you know, at the last, Jesus brought deliverance. Praise God. You know, and I witnessed physically in my time, one day, you know, a girl, she was trying to be a believer and everything, but she grew up in a house of idol worship, shrines, and this and this. And they sold her soul to the devil. And sold her. They actually removed. Now, you say the devil can't do these things. Absolutely, he can. Shaved her head, took her soul, wiped her memory, and I'm standing in front of her. She's looking at me. She doesn't remember me. She knew me well. Wiped up her memory, and they put her out for sacrifice. And they do these things. But I tell you what, I saw the end of that story. They put chains around her neck. They put chains around her hands. They put chains around her feet, and they are prepping her for the sacrifice. And it was in this synagogue of Satan. And I saw it. I went there, tried to set her free. I couldn't, you know. And for the threat of my life, they threw me out of that place and said, if you come back in here again, we'll have your head. You know, so I went back to my own company and we began to pray. And lo and behold, some of you have heard this story and abbreviated it today. Lo and behold, one day. And there's always that one day, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the day. One day, just in the nick of time, as they were getting ready, they had prepped her for the sacrifice. And this was the last thing. They wiped her soul, wiped her memory, done everything. And then she's ready to sacrifice her. And her parents gave her up to this, especially because they knew that she was trying to believe the gospel. And she tried everything to believe the gospel, but she couldn't. You know, she was struggling with this thing. You know, and this power was over her. But prayer, the power of prayer, so powerful. When the saints began to pray, even when we thought we were powerless, you're never powerless, you know, and through prayer. One day at around midnight or whatever time in the night, there stood before her a figure in bright white, a bright shining light. She couldn't see very clearly. She told the story later to me. And the chains fell off her hands. I saw those chains. The chains fell off her feet. Chains fell off around her neck. And the figure beckoned her to come. And they got to the gates. The gates opened to them by itself. True story, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen those gates. They threw me out of those gates one time. So if you come back here, we'll have your head. You know, and the gates, I was a young man, I don't know, maybe 19, 20, or maybe 21 or something like that then. You know, gates were around 15 feet high. gates open up to them by itself. The angel of the Lord, she didn't know what it was, beckoned her and she followed. She was like in a trance. And this place was like a mile and a half or 2 miles into the bush from the main street. This was in Nigeria, ladies and gentlemen. And they got to the street. This figure had transportation arranged. Put her in the transportation. Somehow the money was paid. Instructions were given to the driver where to drive her to. This is true story. This is not fiction. Gave her instructions where to drive to. I had moved to a different town. This was happening in Lagos. I had moved to Ibadan to go to school, University of Ibadan. That was my first year. And I had gotten into college and I was in my dorm and I was upstairs. And my dorm was not even the first dorm that you see when you come into the campus. It was tucked away in the back. And one day I was sitting in the room and God timed it perfectly that I was in the room. And there was a knock on the door. And I went out there, opened the door, and I saw this girl standing there. I almost fell over. How in the world did you get here? And she told the most incredible thing. And if I hadn't read Acts chapter 12, I might have wondered about it. I would have believed it because I could believe anything. But, you know, she told me a story that sounded just like Acts chapter 12. How that Peter was in prison and the angel of the Lord came and bust him out of there. And I said, how did you get here? She told me this story I just told you. How did you know where I was? She didn't even know where I was. Well, you know, this and this and this. And I said, my goodness. And ladies and gentlemen, I say that to tell you this. Even when you feel powerless, this young sister, she was a sister indeed, but they had removed her mind. And her mind was restored. You know, she could not remember anything. She didn't even know who she was, let alone know who somebody else was. And the power of God came and set her free through prayer. Hallelujah. Well, it wasn't one day prayer. It probably wasn't even 1 month. But it happened. And one day, it was her day of deliverance. And I'm praying today that today will be the day that the shackles will fall. Anything that still lingers from any attachment to that lineage will be broken in Jesus' name. Now let's pray. Hallelujah. You've heard enough. Glory to God. Now I am going to pray for those who need deliverance. You've heard this series, how that we should no longer wallow in generational curses, but it was necessary for us to break this. So we did a little bit of prayer yesterday, but I'm going to pray powerfully over this room today. So Holy Ghost said, come, go back in there and pray. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray over this. And if you need prayer or you need prayer for someone else, and there's been these things in your family, you're not sure, you know, that you're completely delivered. And listen, let me guarantee you that there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Glory to God. To break every chain. Break the tokens of liars. Behold, said the Lord, he said, I'm the one that frustrated the tokens of lies. They took those tokens out. Make no mistake about it. They took tokens out. You know, people have been subjected to all kinds of things. There are some people that were born even in witchcraft. There were some people that were born with all kinds of things. I've seen the power of the devil during deliverance levitate people. I've seen people cough and vomit things out that they deposited in them when they were children. And they're now grown and it's like a big black giant cat. I've seen all kinds of things. I don't even want to go into that. But I don't want you to think I have no clue about real deliverance. My goodness, I grew up in deliverance ministry. You know, but, you know, the message that I bring to people today is that you can be free from all of that. Glory to God. And so if you need prayer today, you need a little help. You need a little boost. Now, you can shake these things off yourself, but, you know, just to be sure, You know, because one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. Just in case you need more help chasing some more things, we're here today to pray with you. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to indicate by raising your hands if you are in the audience. If you're on stage and you need this prayer, indicate by, you know, putting up the fire symbol. I want there to be some fireworks in this room here today. Glory to God. And let's see what the Lord is going to do for us. So I'm going to start to pray for every hand that I see that's raised and everyone that indicates. And even you can type, you know, just amen in the chat room. You do any of these things, that means you're part of this prayer. And I'm going to believe the power of God to snap that thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Snap that thing. You know, that thing that has troubled you. And you can do the same. You must do like Asa did. You must denounce all those things. You must cast those things out from your mind. You must, you know, disinherit yourself of those things. You must destroy those things. If you can physically destroy their charms, their tokens of lies, or you have to spiritually do it by prayer, we're going to do that this morning. I'm calling on prayer warriors that are in here today. Glory to God. Let's suit up. The Bible says, suit up. Stand therefore, having your loins, you know, put on the whole armor of God. You know, that means suit up. So we're not playing and we're not messing around here this morning. People need deliverance. People are hurting from these things and we understand it. Praise God. So I'm going to pray. I want you to type the word amen. That's all you need to do. Type it in the chat room if you need this prayer, or raise your hand, or do whatever. If you're on the stage and you can't really raise your hand there, you can type amen in the chat room and just be in agreement. We're going to pull down some strongholds here today. Hallelujah. Now, here's the word of the Lord to you, though, that the Lord will say, you know, you, after this prayer, you are broken free, and do not go and put your neck again in the yoke of bondage. You know, don't even think it. And if you think it, don't say it, you know, because thinking is one thing, saying it is another thing. You know, your mind, the devil or whomsoever may bring those thoughts to your head. Don't say it. Just don't repeat it. You know, but if you will say it at all, say it for with denunciation. You denounce those things. You disinherit yourself from that stuff. And you put the Holy Ghost fire. You call down Holy Ghost fire on all those tokens of liars, those enchantments, those talismans, and all the things that they have put upon you and things that you grew up with. You know, that you think is now part of you just because you were brought up that way or whatever. And then the Lord can cleanse all of that. So the Lord said, I will cleanse even your blood line. That's right. You can read that promise for yourself in the book of Joel chapter 3. And the very last verse will tell you that the Lord will cleanse even your blood line. Praise the Lord. Say, I will cleanse their blood. Were not previously cleansed. Cleanse your bloodline. Give you a blood transfusion. And now as the Holy Ghost bringing the blood of Jesus into your life. But now in the lightning of Jesus, we don't need to deal with that anymore. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. I can see a few hands raised. I'm going to start this prayer now. And I can see in the chat room, those who are typing the words, amen. That means you are part of this prayer. That's all you need to do. And I'm going to pray and release the power of God to break those chains in your life. Many people have these generational curses that they don't even know it. It's good if you know it, but whether you know it or not, don't be paranoid, you know, and don't let the devil take advantage of that. That knowledge is good for you to disinherit yourself and disenchant yourself from those things. That's all the knowledge is good for. Don't let the devil tell you anything else. If you're a child of God now, if you're not in the kingdom yet, then you are under the devil's kingdom. But if you are in the kingdom, here you are, got the power of God as a covering. Now, if you need deliverance and you need salvation, all you got to do is, Lord, you know, you turn your life over to Christ right now, right this moment. He can do it too, you know, and he can wipe away your past, give you a new start. But can you retain the new start? Well, you got to do it by staying in prayer and in the word and fellowship such as this, you know, to keep you, you know, strong and encouraged. Thank you, Father. Now, let me pray. Father, I pray over everyone that's in the room, particularly the ones that raised their hands or the ones and the ones that said amen in the chat room, the ones that want time or the other put up the fire symbol, the ones who in their heart say, I want part of this deliverance. Now, remember, according to the words of Obadiah 17, you know, there shall be deliverance in Mount Zion. Here we are, spiritual Mount Zion. And the Lord also says in his word, it shall come to pass that everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That's right. Everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord. Can you call upon the name of the Lord here this morning? Ha! Glory to God. What is his name? Thank you, Jesus. What is his name? His name is Jesus. Everyone that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Because in Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Now, so we're going to call upon the name of the Lord together. And we are going to trust for deliverance. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And we are going to believe that the Lord will set us free. Thank you, Jesus. He will set us free too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Will he set you free? Why, absolutely. You know, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, according to Romans 10 and 13. You call upon the name of the Lord and you will be delivered. Why? Because, well, in Mount Zion, and we're now in spiritual Mount Zion, you know, in Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. Glory to God. We read that already in Obadiah 17. You know, so this is the time for us to believe God. Father, set your children free from all the tokens of lies. Glory to God. And all the things that the enemy have tried to put upon our necks. We're losing ourselves from the neck, from the bondage around our necks today. Now, I command the Holy Ghost fire upon all those tokens of lies. Burn and die by fire in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And now the Lord said, I will heal their wounds. That's right. The wounds that these generational curses place in your lives. The Lord said, I will heal those wounds. Glory to God. Heal those wounds. Thank you, Jesus. I will heal their wounds. Lord, many have been wounded. Wounded by evils of past deceit. Wounded by traits in their families. Wounded by generational curses. But the Lord said, I will heal ka to shali barusandika. I will heal your wounds. Now, Lord, I pray that the Lord will indeed heal the wounds. Every wounded soul here. As the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth the brokenhearted. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. heal your wounds, restore your spiritual sanity, according to Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. The Lord said, I'll heal your wounds. Now, there are many wounds, wounding our souls, wounding our spirit, even physical wounds in our bodies. I pray for healing and deliverance. Shake yourself from the dust, even this morning. Glory to God. Deliver yourself from the bands around your neck. Ha. And Lord, for those that need help in delivering themselves, I pray in the name of deliver the Lord Jesus that they will receive the help even here this morning to set themselves free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, the power of God set you free in Jesus' name. You are no longer entangled. Gloria bashalarabo sindakendis. You are no longer entangled with the yokes of the devil. In the words of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 5 says, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. And I pray that grace will come into every life today for deliverance in Jesus' name. Now, the traits of the Father, the sins of the Father shall not come upon you. Your teeth will no longer be set on edge for all the evils that have happened in the generations ahead of you. Now, they ate sour grapes. Your teeth will no longer be set on edge. Praise God. Now, there may be some things in the bloodstream. There may be some things in, you know, even in the psyche, in the minds and everywhere. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that the Lord will diffuse, will release and get all those things out of there in Jesus' name. And let the word of God, the power that's in cleansing, say the washing of water by the word. Wash ye, saith the Lord, with water, the clean water of my word, and be ye clean. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, for everyone that's in this room today. You are clean through the word of the Lord that has spoken to you in this room. Thank you, Jesus. You are clean also through the work of redemption that Christ did. How he delivered you from the curse of the law. Ha. Thank you, Jesus. We are also clean because the Lord has taken us from the kingdom of darkness, he had delivered us from all of that and brought us into the glorious kingdom of his dear son. Lord, we thank you for deliverance. And now, let the ransom of the Lord return with joy. Come with singing. Makori andalabo shikariba sunda makaya. Will the Lord deliver his people? Absolutely. Has he done it? Absolutely. Will you enjoy his deliverance? Yes. Praise the Lord. Can you sustain it? By the grace of God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord. Let your people be free. In Jesus' name. Free at last. Free from all the effects that have gone before them. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. And come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and mourning shall flee away. And all these things of the past, you know, Isaiah 51 and verse 10. All these things of the past, the sins of the generations ahead of us. And even Isaiah 35 and verse 10, they say the same thing. You will now return and have everlasting joy. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. And joy and gladness you will obtain. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray the anointing of oil, of gladness upon the heads of all your people that are in here today. I pray their hands are anointed. I declare that their minds are free. Free from all the condemnation of the devil. Free from all accusations of the devil. Free from tokens of liars that the God of heaven has now frustrated. And I pray a release. Set at liberty, sons of God, ready to soar and ready to fly. In the name of Jesus, I declare that you are clean escaped. Yes, for in vain is any net or any trap set in the plain sight of a bird. Now we've seen the traps of the enemy trying to bring your mind into subjection to all those evil things. No, you are clean escaped. I declare that you now have the mind of... Now, I want people to now start praying this prayer for themselves. Begin to say, whether you're on stage, you can open your mind. You know, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.